God never coerces, and He will not permit Satan to coerce either. God will not force you to come to Him, and He will not let Satan force you to go to Him either. Satan can persuade, but he cannot push. He could say, throw yourself from this tower, but he could not push the Lord off. And it comes down again to, what will you choose? God respects the power of choice.
This is Cross Reference Radio with our pastor and teacher, Rick Gaston. Rick is the senior pastor of Calvary Chapel, Mechanicsville. Please join us as we study the book of 2 Thessalonians, verse by verse. God has created personal choice because He respects the power of choice. There's His will and there's our will. Whether we go to heaven or hell is up to us. We can't be convinced one way or the other, as with any decision in life. Let's remember today is the day of salvation. Today is the day to accept the truth of God, for tomorrow may never come. Please stay with us after today's message to hear more information about Cross Reference Radio, specifically how you can get a free copy of this teaching. But for now, please open your Bibles to the book of 2 Thessalonians, chapter 2, verse 9, as we join Pastor Rick.
It was a miracle that they could do that. But I would also say it wasn't God's. It was the occult. It was interaction with spiritual forces that God allowed them. It was the doing of the devil. There was no righteousness in them making people slaves. And why they lived, as the saying goes, high up on the hog, where the good stuff is. Revelation 13:2, they worshiped the dragon who gave authority to the beast. They worship Satan, who gave authority to the beast. This is another way to read that. And it continues, and they worship the beast, saying, who is like the beast? Who is able to make war with him? We like this guy. He's powerful. He's got charisma. He has nerve. This is what the world needed. He will be the personification of humanism. And they won't even know it's a demon because they don't believe in demons. But so these signs that he is granted, again, will lack morality and righteousness. That will be the touchstone. That will be the indicator. Those getting saved during this period of time will know it because they will have the scriptures. They will have Rick Gaston's recorded messages. They will just, they'll find them. God will see to it. Well, I mean, where are they going to go? We're going to leave them behind, and they're going to loot. That's why I counsel everybody, put a big sign up in front of your house. Leave my stuff alone. Be back in 7 years. Things going to change, though. It's not going to be like that. By the time the tsunamis, the earthquakes, the war, and nuclear exchange, I mean, it's just, you know. Anyhow, sorry. But that belonged to my mom. Yeah. Wood, hay, and stubble. So the difference is between true signs of the Lord and false signs of the devil. Also, the presence of the Word. That's what says this is moral, this is righteousness, according to the Word, not according to some man's definition of these things. Mark's Gospel, chapter 16, when the church was new, it says, they went out and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them, confirming the Word through accompanying signs. Amen. Affirming the Word. The Word is central to the miraculous activities. Acts 2:42 and 3. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. Okay, that is the foundation of everything else that continues in this verse. This is where the cults, they edit that out. They get rid of the doctrine of the apostles, and they keep the fellowship, the breaking of bread, and the prayers. They keep that part, not the true fellowship and prayer and communion with Christ, the false. And the way to get to the false is to get rid of the true. What is the true? The Word. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. I am the way, the truth, and the life. And if you know Him, you love Him, and you're good with all this. The unbeliever does not know, so he resists. But it continues, then fear, Acts chapter 2, verse 43, then fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done through the apostles who had doctrine, who preached the word of Jesus. Matthew 24:24. False Christs and false prophets will rise and show signs and wonders to deceive, if possible, even the elect. It won't be, because the elect will have the word of God, and they'll say, you ain't tricking me. This has been called in advance. So we have all of this spiritual activity taking place, as it was in the days of Moses, great spiritual activity. In the days of Elijah, there were great acts of spiritual powers going on. And in the days of Jesus Christ, there were these great spiritual signs happening. They were local. All of this will be global. And so we won't be here for it. But back to Antichrist. It says, through his cunning, Daniel 8:25, he shall cause deceit to prosper. Not morality, not righteousness, not godliness. Deceit will prosper. In other words, it will be the thing to do. It will be in style. Because he's doing it, others are going to learn. They're going to do it too. It's always been that case in decadent environments. How would you like to live in Florence with the Medicis? I mean, they were corrupt. They brought back architecture. They built up Florence. They did things, but they were still rotten people, and you didn't want to be on their wrong side, and they made a mockery of Christianity, buying the papacy even, and the murders of each other. Just horrible stories. Of course, if you go and watch this stuff on the History Channel, they put a bow on it, and they make it sound like, oh, you know, there are good things too. And God says, this stuff is anathema. These good men. Well, anyway, through his cunning he shall cause deceit to prosper under his rule, and he shall exalt himself in his heart. He shall destroy many in their prosperity. Yeah, because he's taking their wealth. He shall even rise against the prince of princes. That's the Lord. But he shall be broken without human means. Now it also says here in verse 9, lying wonders. The Greek word there is where we get our English word pseudo. It's pseudo in the Greek, actually. It's fake. It's a fraud. And that will be a part of him. But the people who are following him and honoring him and celebrating him, they don't care about truth. They just care about what it's going to do for them. Does it satisfy their imagination? Put bread on the table? That's all they need. Does it give them power? Talk about world peace. World peace by man always comes by violence to some other man. Freedom to one class and enslavement to the other. These lying wonders and powers without moral truth is pictured by the Roman Empire. They had great power that was quite a wonder. No truth of God. That was completely absent. They thrived off of enslaving everyone who they conquered. Verse 10, it says, with all unrighteous deception among those who perish, because they did not receive the love of the truth that they might be saved. Well, now it starts getting pretty relative to us right now. The unrighteous deception, we talked about that. They will applaud his acumen. He's such a shrewd, strategist, visionary. He can see, oh, he's great. That's what they're going to be saying about him. And yeah, there'll be girls crying as he's talking, you know, like they did that with Hitler too, you know. The Hitler youth were sitting, the Hitler teens were sitting in, and he's going, and they were no slight on the German language of people, but certainly he was a skilled orator who was demonic. And the people were fawning all over him. This is great. And persecuted their own people. How come you don't join the Nazi party? Be a smarty, join the Nazi party. And they were wicked. To see what human beings can do is incredible. These generals were like on drugs with this guy. Well, he is der Führer. Oh. Anyway, the world will get what they wanted, a leader without morals yet again, without religion, without integrity, and he will likely be homosexual. You say, oh, why? Why? Oh. Like, okay. Daniel chapter 11, verse 37. He shall regard neither the God of his fathers, there's apostasy involved, nor the desire of women, nor regard any god, for he shall exalt himself above them all. That's what the scripture says. I believe it, and I don't apologize for believing it, and I don't mean to attack those who disagree with me, except to attack you with truth. God loves you. God knows you're a sinner, and so do you. God has provided a way out. Will you take it or not? Your choice is yours. Will you go with the smuggled assumption that the Word of God cannot be trusted because you found a comma out of place in your opinion or some similar type thing? Again, you know, you study some of these theologians that are very intelligent human beings, some of them. I mean, they're all pretty much intelligent, but some of them are not spiritual at all.
And they just bring you right back to where you came from, but they drag you through rivers of doubt to get you there. One of the great theologians of our time was F.F. Bruce. He's with the Lord now. His commentaries, they're good. He's not as good as me, of course, but I'm kidding. If you're visiting here, I'm having fun. But he was a great man of God. And he is the one that in reading his writings for me, I would get to the conclusion of what he was saying. So, well, why do we got to go through all that? Well, obviously, because there are others who do, and he's dealing with it. A comma in John's letter, and is this text really there? And he deals with that stuff, but it's tough reading. You have to have the aptitude for it and the time. But back to this, it says, among those who perish. Now, that's key. Those who reject the gospel, that's who he's talking about. So long as the gospel remained on the table, it was available. But once the church is withdrawn, those who've heard the gospel, it's no longer available. Listen, if you can't come to Christ in these peaceful times, what makes you think you're going to come when strong delusion is upon the earth? I know a lot of people don't like this, but I don't know how you get this out of the scripture. God has developed this through Paul. I want to take verse 10 again. With all unrighteous deception among those who perish, because they did not receive the love of the truth. That means they were exposed to it, but they didn't love it. They didn't receive it, that they might be saved. That's what it comes down to. You know, C.S. Lewis has a quote, I don't remember it, so I'll just paraphrase it. Essentially, he says, I don't come to religion for happiness. In his own words, I can use a bottle of port for that, Portuguese wine. And so what he was saying is, I come to religion because it's true, because of God. The happiness, yes, it's in there, but that's not why I'm there. There are other things that create happiness in this life, but they're not eternal. They're not spiritual. They won't save my soul. It's a wonderful saying. We get tripped up by this because when we're miserable, you know, if you have your life, if the foundation of your life is happiness, then you're going to be miserable because life is not, it doesn't help happiness along. It interferes with it, takes it away. And so he says, because they did not receive the love of the truth that they might be saved. And so the deliverance, the touchstone of deliverance, salvation, and from deceit, it is truth. And this is the protection that the believers have. Verse 11. And for this reason, God will send them strong delusion, that they should believe the lie. So God is going to say, fine, you've been exposed to the truth, you've not received it, now I'm going to step in and I'm going to give you what you want, and this is going to be so powerful that you're not going to be able to get out of it because this is what you chose. We see it in Scripture. I'm going to get some verses in a minute. But the fact is, it's not capricious on God's side. This is based upon sound reason. He's thought this through, as we might say. God will send the strong delusion to the fools who choose to play games with the message. You see, the message of the gospel is not a message per se. It is God's truth. It is not just on a telegram or, you know, junk mail or something you say, I'm not interested, and I throw it in the trash, and that's the end of it. You can receive it and you can treat it as junk mail, but the consequence for this is going to be severe. Because from God's position, God's standpoint, he says, my word is trustworthy. There's enough evidence and proof, and you didn't want it. You did not even want to look into it. And so the fool chooses to play games with God. Have you ever spoken to someone who knew about the gospel but refused to submit? Who knew the message, wouldn't be able to say to you, well, I know of a better message. Couldn't say that, would just hear it, and sometimes they might even know it better than you. Maybe they were raised in a church. Maybe they were the children of pastors. And they say, enough of this Bible stuff. They have no intention of submitting to it. Psalm 81, verse 12. So I gave them over to their own stubborn heart to walk in their own counsels. God will not be played with. Isaiah 66, verse 4. So I will choose their delusions and bring their fears on them. Because when I called, no one answered. When I spoke, they did not hear. But they did evil before my eyes and chose that in which I do not delight. God is saying, this stuff's not a freak accident. that happened to them that is not fair. It's very fair. And they are guilty. And that's why. Paul says, because. He said, there's a reason for this. And so Pharaoh's heart, his hard head was an indicator of a hard heart. God never coerces, and he will not permit Satan to coerce either. God will not force you to come to him, and he will not let Satan force you to go to him either. Satan can persuade, but he cannot push. He could say, throw yourself from this tower, but he could not push the Lord off. And it comes down again to, what will you choose? God respects the power of choice, and that's why he has created other wills. There is God's will, there's your will, there's their will, there's that one's will. Where will it all end? It's up to the individual. Deuteronomy 30, verse 19, I call heaven and earth as witness today against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life, that both you and your descendants may live. And so he says that they should believe the lie. The definite article, the, suggests some specific grand lie. And that's what Antichrist would say, I'm the Savior. I'm God. I am the fulfillment of religion. I am it. And they will be buying what he has to offer. God's truth, as we know it, the Christian truth, the truth of the Old Testament and the New, is an obstacle to the fallen nature. It was so at Balaam. God was an obstacle. You know what? I really want the gold. I want the gold more than I want God. And so Balaam became an apostate. He was a man that prophesied. God worked through Balaam. You cannot dispute that. And then in the end, Balaam rejected the faith. He left. King Saul was another one. The Bible tells us that God departed from him because Saul departed from God. Then there was Belshazzar, had the evidence, the handwriting on the wall. He could have submitted right then and there, and he chose not to. John's first letter, chapter 4, verse 6. We are of God. He who knows God hears us. He who is not of God does not hear us. By this we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. It comes down to receivers and rejectors. And the world will swallow with zeal, with devotion, equal to, if not beyond, the people who embrace other false religions of today on a global scale. Those who embrace humanism. Humanism is a religion. Evolution. Evolution is a religion. Again, I can't stress this enough. Evolution is a religion that pretends to be a science. Instead of meeting in a church, they meet in a lab. And instead of wearing robes, they wear, that's their garb. And if you put a lab coat on, in fact, we just saw this. We saw a politician trying to add credibility to his agenda by putting people in lab coats behind him. See, they got lab coats on. So what I'm saying has to be right. They support me. And that's, I'm not making mockery of it. This is what happened and what is happening. You can say, of course I'm right. I'm a doctor. We joke about that. Some of you Christians, you're afraid to witness and lead someone to Christ. You think you need a pastor to do it. Is there a pastor in the house? I got to get this person saved. That's ridiculous. You can do this. God has fitted you for it. So back to this, communism is a religion. I'm not saying we should get our history from the entertainment field, but I also cannot deny that some entertainment, their research and their presentation is oftentimes very accurate. You want to know what communism is like? I would say match that, the reading to Dr. Zhivago with Omar Sharif, not this new one. And you'll see that whoever did the playwright for that captured what communism does to a people and how the ground was laid by the bourgeoisies, how they helped it along, but still communism is a drug. It's violent, it's vicious, it is horrifying. And of course, Nazism and Islam. The way these groups have been embraced by their followers is how Antichrist will also have followers embrace him. Those who refuse the truth and embrace error are like a person who insists that 2 plus 2 is 10. They can believe it passionately, they can embrace it. It's a lie, but they can hold on to this. But it doesn't change what 2 plus 2 is, and that's what it is. I do believe that there is a parallel in the physical universe for the lessons in the spiritual universe, and that's just one of them. In other words, if you want to say, well, look, I can show you a parallel to this truth of God, you can point to something in his creation to express that truth, and thus the parables of Jesus Christ support this. The last verse, verse 12, that they may be condemned who did not believe the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. So now, we're talking about those who have been exposed to the gospel and have rejected it. The teaching is, by some, that if I get raptured, I've preached all these things to you, go get my Bible, I've left you a note, and you can get saved, even though you're going to be martyred. The Bible doesn't treat it that way. This passage of Scripture is patent. It's clear. There's no confusion here. Once they've rejected it and the church age is over, there is no hope for that person. I would like to be wrong. And is it possible that I can be wrong? Of course not. No, of course. Of course there is. But that's not how we treat Scripture. We don't treat Scripture, well, I sure hope that's not what it means. We treat it by that's what it says, that's where we're going. This places an urgency on the message. The other way removes the urgency. Well, okay, if you don't, and I get, well, what happens if the rapture doesn't come in your lifetime and you're out here putting out this lesson to others that, you know, there's still time and there's hope? Listen, our message is a message of urgency. We are to tell the lost, you can drop dead tonight. It'd be too late for you. You're done. Or you can stay alive, but your heart can be hardened enough right here at this moment, at this critical moment, where even God can't get his hands on you. You can't play with fire. You cannot take fire to your bosom and not be burned. And our message is one of urgency. And I have loved ones, too, that I want to see right with God. But I'm trying to go about that in this lifetime, but I also understand that there's but so much I can do. And I'm not going to tell them, well, you'll have another chance. That's not what the Scripture teaches. I know it's a popular teaching. There are many popular teachings out there that the Scripture doesn't support. Jesus made it very clear. If you abide with me, you're my disciples. And if you don't abide with me, you're not my disciples. And then Christians come along and say, you know, that's a little bit too harsh. I'm going to downtone that a little bit. That's not what I'm going to teach. And if you teach anything otherwise, I'm going to leave your church, go find a church that teaches what I like. And on it goes. Very disappointing to see this happen. But anyway, verse 12, that they may be condemned who did not believe the truth but had pleasure in unrighteousness. Proverbs chapter 1, verse 31, therefore they shall eat the fruit of their own way and be filled to the full with their own fancies. That's what we talk when God said, I'm going to send strong delusion. It's not going to be possible to resist this. They're going to be enjoying it. Jeremiah 6:19, precedence for this in Israel. Hear, O earth, behold, I will certainly bring calamity on this people, the fruit of their thoughts, because they have not heeded my word nor my law, but rejected it. That's Jeremiah speaking to people who went to church all the time. The nation of Israel, they were having their sacrifices. You know, Jeremiah was a priest. We have no record of him serving as a priest. He didn't want anything to do with that corruption. It had been corrupted. John the Baptist was a priest. He should have been serving at the temple. We have no record. He went out to the wilderness. That became his temple. He would have nothing to do with the corruption that was going on there. God does excommunicate. You know, knowing the terror of the Lord, Paul said, we persuade men. It's nice having this Savior who's my friend and, you know, he's my brother and he's all this, but he is God Almighty. And the wrath and the power and the love that belongs to him is more than we could ever measure. And if you think you can just sashay into his presence and treat him any old way you want, you are a fool. The righteous are ready to fall on their face, do anything he tells them to do. We're ready to die for this faith that we claim is so true. At least we set our sights in that direction. Anything less, what is it? What is something less than devotion? I'll leave it for the individual to define. I don't get tired of God's message, even though I can't live up to it. It is true. It is right. It is the ideal. It is the target. And the sinner, by definition, misses the target, but it's because they want to miss the target. The saved are sinners saved by grace because they too miss the target, but they don't want to. They're trying to do what God has for them
to do.
You've been listening to Cross Reference Radio, the daily radio ministry of Pastor Rick Gaston of Calvary Chapel in Mechanicsville, Virginia. As we mentioned at the beginning of today's broadcast, today's teaching is available free of charge at our website. Simply log on to www.crossreferenceradio.com. That's crossreferenceradio.com. We'd also like to encourage you to subscribe to the Cross Reference Radio podcast. Subscribing ensures that you stay current with all the latest teachings from Pastor Rick. You can subscribe at crossreferenceradio.com or simply search for Cross Reference Radio in iTunes. Tune in next time as Pastor Rick continues teaching through the book of 2 Thessalonians, right here on Cross Reference Radio.